Hey there, it's Vicky here from Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners, and welcome to this episode of the podcast, where I'm really excited to present to you guys an interview I did with Troy Erickson, who's known as the email paramedic. I first came across Troy because I responded to an ad that was served at me online. And if you've been following me for a while or you're in my membership, you know I love to click on ads and get into people's funnels, get all up in their funnel. And what I was really interested to kind of learn from Troy was his take on how to revive a dead email list and how to make the most out of when someone wants to unsubscribe from your list. Troy's got the perfect mix of calmness and detailed insight to make him a perfect guest for this podcast. And he answered all of my questions and your questions and more in this episode. And you're going to learn hints and tips on how to get your emails open, right? How to deal with people who unsubscribe from your list. I get Troy's take on how to adhere to regulations to make sure that you're sending emails in the correct way and you're doing the right thing, and why competitive research is such a great thing as well. But the reason why I enjoyed the chat so much was what came out of our discussion was just the general theme, right? That when you're emailing, it's just a tool, right? And you're emailing real live people, and they're going to behave a certain way and they're going to react a certain way. And if you can really tune in to how your potential email subscriber or your current email subscribers would respond to the things you say, it's less about you guessing how to get emails to your list and get them opened and stop people unsubscribing. And it's more just getting to know your ideal customers, right? I love that as a theme for this episode. So lots to learn. Grab a pen, piece of paper, get your notes app open. You're going to learn something. And I'll be back at the end of the episode to see what you think. I'm Vicky Jakes, and in this podcast, I'm aiming to bring you no-nonsense advice on how to drive more traffic to your small business website so that you can start making more money. It will be packed full of hints and tips, jargon-free, and a chance for us to geek out together on a weekly basis. So let's crack on with this week's episode. Do you want to tell me a little bit about yourself then? So who are you? What's your company name and how, like, what's your origin story? How did you get to where you got to now?
Sure. Yeah. So a long story short, I know you're across the pond, but I was only a baseball player growing up, and that's like all I ever did, all I ever worked on, all I ever wanted to do. I was trained with my dad all day. I was the only child. So all I did was play baseball. I made it to college, but that whole thing kind of came crashing down due to something called the YIPS, which is like a mental like block type of thing. So in that time, when I was not doing too well with baseball, I got cut from my team, and in college as a senior, which was rather embarrassing. But I took that time where I was like so embarrassed, like inside for two straight weeks, and essentially started seeing these ads about how to make money online, all this stuff. And I kind of dabbled in it before, but I took it very seriously this time. So I was on Upwork, and there was one client who hired me for Facebook ads. He had a pretty large operation that was invested in by Gary Vee. It had NFL players and sponsors and everything. So I did some work for him and with Facebook ads and funnels and kind of got my feet wet. And then all of a sudden he wanted me to manage the email list too. He was like, hey, have you ever done this before? And I was like, no. He's like, all right, you're hired, because I don't know how to do it. So I started sending emails for this company. It had 147,000 subscribers that we acquired in the first year, 22,000 customers. I just took that and experimented with it. And then a lot of my other clients were that I was running Facebook ads for had some issues and they wanted to fire me. And I was like, hey, what's going on? Like, nothing's wrong with the ads. And then they were like, oh, well, our emails aren't working. So I took everything that I learned from the first gig and started applying it to other clients. And I soon started to realize that email was a much more lucrative niche for me because there's so many Facebook ad experts out there, but not many people doing email. So I got into it that way. And then now I write email copy, I fix deliverability problems, and I try to keep it as simple as that. So it's like, if you don't know how to write emails or you don't know why people aren't opening your emails or why they aren't buying, then I'm the person who can fix that.
I love your business name, or your website at least, the Lead Paramedic. How did you come up with that name?
So I revive dead leads on email lists. I really need to change it to email paramedic so it's a little easier to pick up. But once I tell people, they're like, oh, that's clever. But at first, they don't always pick up on that. So,
yeah, I love that. Okay, so you were literally thrown in the deep end with your first client managing 147,000 email subscribers. I remember, because I come from an agency background, working with clients, working with big business. And I remember the first email list I had to manage was for a car manufacturer. And we had to send an email out to 10,000. It was the first time I'd ever done it. And the first time I did it, I messed up. Right? There were broken links. This is back when you had to code the HTML in emails and everything like that. And I swear to God, I can never send an email these days without my hand shaking, like before I press send. Right? And I think it's because you had to check so many things back in the day. But how, like, that was 10,000, right? How did you get over that fear of, like, because once that email sent to those subscribers, it's sent, right? And it's very awkward to send a correction email, right? So how did you just, like, get stuck in with those 147,000?
Yeah, so at first I just literally got thrown in. It was a biz op list. So the guy I was working with, he was super chill. He didn't really care, like, if there was a, you know, mistake here or there, because that's just how he rolls. And it's like, sometimes it's ready, fire, aim. So I just hopped into it, and, you know, I didn't know a lot back then, but today the thing that helps me kind of overcome that is every email before it goes out, I send it to this Gmail test account I have. So not only can I look at the email, but I can also see where it lands and I can, you know, fix any deliverability issues. But yeah, I'll make sure that, you know, the email address is correct, and make sure the from name, subject line, links all match. If I copied from a previous template, I'll just reread it really quickly, make sure there's nothing in there that accidentally got left behind. And then in my test account, I can test the links as well. So it's just a matter of, like, rereading through the whole thing pretty quickly. It's super simple, but having a test account definitely helps. That's probably a huge tip that a lot of people miss, is that you always want to, you know, send an email to your test account. Otherwise, you don't do that, then the first time it's going out is to maybe hundreds of thousands of people. And if there's a mistake in there, that's not too good.
Oh, I mean, yeah, just about managed to keep my job there when I did that. But, you know, these things are meant to test, like sent to testers. And I always make sure I check and test my emails before I send them out. So I work with a lot of small business owners in my world. Quite often, like, it's their transition from corporate into running a small business for the first time. So they're cutting their teeth, learning marketing, learning concepts about, like, traffic generation in general. And one of the things I find when I'm talking to them is that they are scared to send emails. Like, they're actually, like, in a different way that we were just talking about, where, you know, you're going to get, like, clipped around the ear by your client for kind of messing up and sending the wrong thing to your audience. It's like they have a block with actually, like, sitting down and kind of writing something and sending out to their list, possibly through a fear of them worrying about what their list might think. But just as, like, a starting point, like, how would you help encourage someone to send an email for the first time to their list, no matter how small it is?
Yeah. So the first thing I want to reiterate is, if you're afraid to send an email, you're not alone. I recently saw this poll on LinkedIn, and it said, like, how many emails should you send to somebody in the first 2 weeks? And 27% of people said one. And, like, there was a massive percentage of people that said 2 to 5. And I was like, wow, this is actually a major pain point. So I'm glad you asked. But to kind of summarize that, like, the people signed up for a reason to the email list, right? Like, they want something that you have. They have some type of problem or thing that they need remedied. So they have the problem and you have the solution. So therefore they want to to hear from you. If you don't email them, or if I didn't email somebody, I don't feel like I'm letting that person down. The only way that somebody's not going to care is if the email's not relevant to them, right? So like, it doesn't matter what the message is. You could be emailing someone, you could be texting someone, you could be Facebook messaging someone, you could be talking to somebody in person. If you have something good to say, they want to hear from you. If you have something bad to say, they don't want to hear from you. Same thing. Like, there's certain people that we really enjoy seeing in person. There's some people that we never want to see again in person. And it's because of what they have to say. So keep in mind that, you know, subscribers, they have a very small like window of time where they are looking for that help, because sometimes people's interests change and they go do other things. So if you don't email them early and often, you're not helping them overcome whatever problems they're having, and odds are their interests are going to change over the course of time, and then you've lost them. And not emailing somebody, like, why did you acquire them in the first place, right? Like, if you don't email them, it's almost like they didn't even join your list, and you paid money to get them on your list, so you might as well email them.
It's crazy, but, right? Because people would like post every single day on their Instagram feed or their LinkedIn feed, right? But they're worried about doing that to their email list.
The funny story is that that list of 147,000, I think in the first week, maybe it was the first email that I ever sent for them, I sent out like a really nice email. I was like pushing the subscription program they had. I thought it was pretty good. And I sent it out, and in the inbox, I had access to the support inbox at the time. And the first response was F you. Like, and I was like, what did I do to this guy? And then I just came to realize that some people are just not happy about certain things, or they're having a bad day. And it's like, it's not a reflection of your email. It's just that that person, for whatever reason, is just not having a good day. And sometimes people, they'll see success and they'll be weird about it for whatever reason. So yeah, there's a lot of people that are kind of nervous to send stuff and put it out into the world, but that's natural. And it's like, the more you can just realize that, like, hey, I'm doing something that's good for people, and whether or not they want to like hop on and help themselves, you can't control that. You can only control what you do.
It's quite funny with you saying that. I've just realized how emotional email makes people feel, right? Like if I get an email from someone I really don't want to hear from, or it's been too frequent, it makes me like rage unsubscribe, right? Or like rage click my way through that email. So I think in the past I might have responded to an email and just like in capital letters and said like, please unsubscribe me. I think I've been that dick in the past, unfortunately, yeah. Right? But I asked my membership recently what they thought of a screenshot that I showed them of my email inbox when I was collecting funnels. And as I told you before we started this chat, I love getting into people's funnels and collecting emails. And I was delighted, like, that's how I found you and your work. And when I showed them a series of emails that Grant Cardone had sent me last summer, and people were shocked in my membership. You know, they're new, they're kind of getting used to sending traffic to their website. You know, that in one day, I think Grant might have sent me 6 emails in one day, and there wasn't even a promo going on. And I said to them, how does this make you feel? And the words were like rage, annoyed, irritated. Like, it was just really emotional, like the things that people were talking about. And email does this to people. If we receive not enough, we go cold. But if we receive too many, or it's the wrong type of subject line, it makes us feel a certain way, doesn't it?
Yeah. And in that situation, it might be because they weren't the ones who initially subscribed, right? So a lot of people are like, oh, you know, I wouldn't like to get all those emails, but there's some people who do.
And it's like, oh, yeah, me.
Yeah, it's like the 80-20 rule of things. It's like, you know, 20% of people are going to be very excited, and the other 80% are going to be so-so, or maybe not care that much. So it's like, you always want to cater to the people who care the most, because you're going to get the best results for them. You're going to get the best results for yourself. And you just always want to focus on that and talk to those people. Because, yeah, there's a lot of people who hop into stuff, and you know, some of them are just naturally going to, you know, have that little bit of rage. And then a lot of them are going to be like, hey, like, you know, I actually like this, even if other people don't. So.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I'm quite comfortable with receiving multiple emails every single day because I like studying them, right? But if you're looking to buy something and you're doing a lot of comparisons and you're signing up to kind of, I don't know, like different furniture store sites or whatever, you're going to be okay with receiving lots of emails and not going through the rage unsubscribe click like me. Well, look, let's get into some like nitty gritty, right? Because you are the lead paramedic, and I want to find out and get some tips for like people listening to this episode. things like how can they get more of their emails opened, right? I personally believe you should do whatever it takes to get your email open. But for some people, that makes them feel really uncomfortable. There is like words bandied around like clickbait and, you know, and kind of things like that, that, you know, in my audience make people feel very reserved about crafting an email subject line in a certain way to get opened. But I mean, perhaps you've got a better viewpoint on this because this is what you do all day, every day. You're the expert here. Like, you know, is it all about getting your email opened? Because without that, people will never see what's inside, right?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things for that that kind of start even before the email is sent. So the first thing when I work with somebody, it's all about like their business, right? So like what kind of offers do they have? Is it something interesting or is it something that everybody else is doing? Is it something that's like kind of cliche or is it something that's like earth shattering? So first thing to think about if people aren't opening your emails is what am I sending them that is like extremely relevant to them and beneficial, right? So like the formula for a good offer is like curiosity and benefit. Like curiosity being, does it sound different than everything else out there? And benefit, obviously, like, you know, the person watching, are they going to say like, oh yeah, I should opt in for this, or it's, you know, whatever. So you have to think about that too. Like how appealing what, you know, you're doing is. The next thing to think about is your emails. How similar are they to the initial thing that the person opted in for? So for example, if you had an offer that was about teaching people how to have a higher converting website, and maybe your welcome email or a couple other emails is about that, all of a sudden, if you just assume that people want to learn about Facebook ads, that may not be true. So if you start sending them emails about Facebook ads, they don't open it because it's about something that's different than what they opted in for. So a good way to learn what people want is you just send them a reply email. So for a list like yours, you can just say like, hey, first name, what's your biggest question about internet marketing? And then a whole bunch of people reply. You'll notice a lot of the replies are similar. And you're like, oh, okay, maybe my list wants to learn about this. Or you can just, you know, send things that are very similar to whatever they originally opted in for. So that's the first thing, is making sure you have an appealing offer and you send emails that are similar to what they initially came in for. Beyond that, like open rates, they also have to do with your previous sending history, right? So if you sent a lot of good emails in the past, sometimes people just see your name and they're like, okay, I'm opening this email no matter what. Like I can think of two or three people that I open every email from, like no matter what the subject line is. So the subject line itself too, like, yeah, sure, you want to get as many open rates as you possibly can, but you also want it to be, you know, relevant to what is written in the email. And sometimes you'll write a subject line that calls out a particular type of person that you want to speak to in this particular email. So even if it doesn't get a crazy high open rate, that's okay, because you're talking to the right person. Mm-hmm. So just in general with subject lines, once again, curiosity, benefit, specificity, simplicity, social proof, a time frame to achieve a result, like any of those things, like as many as you can squeeze in, usually like two or three so it doesn't get too long, is a great subject line. And then in the email itself, if you're talking about something that's super curious or something that's story-based or something that might seem even a little bit contradictory compared to what all the other gurus are talking about. Or you could talk about something that's in the news recently, or you could, you know, write an email that sounds very personal, like I'm sending it directly to you. So those are all kinds of, you know, emails and subject lines and reasons why people might be opening an email or not opening an email. And then obviously there's deliverability too. So that's a whole nother animal that I work on.
So it's so much more, right, than just writing a catchy subject line then. It's actually starting to think about how you manage your list, who's on your list and what they want to hear from you, right? So if you're sending the same type of email to your list ongoing over and over and over, I know a lot of small businesses that do that. They send out their monthly newsletter and they're like, oh, the open rates are going down. I don't quite understand why, but it's because they send exactly the same email you're suggesting every single month, sending what they think should their readers, their recipients should read, as opposed to actually asking for it. And there's power in asking your list what they want, because they're like human beings at the other end, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like a lot of people, you know, we get so nitty gritty that we forget that we're talking to other people.
Yeah.
And we struggle to put ourselves in their shoes and we wonder why they aren't taking the actions that we want them to take. So that's one thing that people struggle with. But yeah, it's like at the end of the day, you just have to give things that give people things that are interesting and curious that they want to hear that are relevant. And sometimes it takes a lot of testing. So you just have to email people and see what happens. And, you know, there's so many different things you could say. And the truth is that a lot of them will probably work. So my biggest piece of advice is don't overthink it. As long as it's like relevant to the person and it's curious and there's an obvious benefit, then you're going to do pretty well. And that's kind of the 80-20 of things. So like, sure, you can get more detailed and it could get you better results, but the majority of results are going to come from those basic principles.
So the thing that I personally get triggered by, and I've been doing this for years, but I still get triggered by people unsubscribing from my list. And I know that it's part of managing a list. My particular marketing is focused around promotions and challenges, right? And so people come into my funnel that way. And then I'm more than aware when I start to nurture them, a lot of people will go away because they're not getting the thing that they originally signed up for, like you were saying, right? But at points, my unsubscribe rate has crept up slightly. So I'm going to need to keep an eye on that. But I speak to a lot of small business owners who aren't just keeping an eye on it and maybe being slightly triggered, like they're freaking out when they get unsubscribes. And it's making them stop sending emails generally and going through that testing process. Because to build an email list is expensive. It takes time. There's a kind of a cost per lead. I mean, what's your advice about how to handle an unsubscribe rate? And I know like this is like, you know, part of some of the superpowers that you offer, but you know, what kind of like initial feedback and advice could you give to the listeners of this podcast?
Sure. So just some initial advice and then tactical later, but sure. Yeah, don't ever stop sending because people are unsubscribing, right? Like sometimes I subscribe from things, even from people that I like, simply because my inbox is like jam packed. It doesn't mean I despise the person. Doesn't mean they did anything wrong. And the fact that like, you also have to remember, like, it's really unhealthy to like, just keep an eye on your unsubscribes because you start like judging people and you start like overthinking things and you're like, what am I doing wrong? But sometimes it's just the case and people unsub. But yeah, don't ever stop sending, because like, if you stop sending, that's the equivalent of your entire list unsubscribing. It's like, you might as well just, you're still excited because remember 80-20 goes on many, many, many things. As far as the tactical side, I basically found a way where you can downsell people essentially. So if they unsubscribe, they're unsubscribed. So it's compliant, but I show them a downsell opportunity, which is one of my like entry point offers that I show people when they join my email list. And it works really, really well. So basically it's like, hey, like on some lists it'll be, hey, like maybe you didn't want to get emails on this address. Maybe there's a different one and I'll show them how to like swap their email. Or maybe I'll say like, hey, if you think our prices were too high, here's like a little discount that you can use on our store. Something of that nature. And obviously if they purchase something, they're added back to the list, which is compliant because they bought something, which is opting in. So there's all kinds of ways to find like interesting ways to allow people back on that are still interesting to them. So they, you know, they're still excited about it.
I mean, I love that process. And by the way, like if you're listening, I'll put links to Troy's stuff in the show notes afterwards, because it's well worth kind of signing up and finding out more about this particular tactic. These creative approaches that you have to managing an email list, like, you know, they're really original, and when we don't see many other marketers doing them. How, like, do they just arrive in your head when you're having a shower? Like, or, you know, are you seeing something the rest of us aren't seeing about how to communicate with our lists and manage our lists?
Yeah. So I've always been really creative, but I think the thing that helps me come up with this stuff is just that I'm always inside of accounts doing things. And whenever I run into a problem, my mind is like, what's a workaround that I can make for this that's going to make this better? So I'll look at a problem and I'll just like find a way to get it done. So if a lot of people aren't subscribing, I'm like, okay, well, what's a way that I can sell my sawdust, right? So like, you're probably familiar with the phrase, but if anyone's not, basically Henry Ford back in the day was building cars and you actually needed wood back then. So obviously he used wood and therefore got sawdust. And for the longest time, they threw it away. They said, we can't do anything with this. And that's what most business owners do with their unsubscribes. But you can actually do something with them. So for example, Henry Ford took that sawdust and turned it into Kingsford charcoal, or well, what would become Kingsford. And that, I don't even know how much money that makes every year, but it's a lot just off of sawdust, essentially, is how it got started. So same thing with, you know, unsubscribes. It was like, I know these people are at least somewhat interested because they opted in originally. I just have to give them a different opportunity. Maybe it's a cheaper price. Maybe they want a different email address. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And I just tested it out and it worked really well. One of my clients made an extra $3,000 a month just from that. Now they're a big company.
Amazing.
It was just a chunk of change, but it's better than nothing. And you know, I have other things too that I've come across and I email my list about them a lot, but it's just a matter of being inside of list, which is basically me having clients and trying interesting things for them whenever there's a problem. So it's just being in the business of transacting and doing things and just trying to be on the cutting edge.
And I love this, just relentless testing, right? And there's no emotion attached to what you're doing. Because I had a client call a few weeks ago, and I happened to mention one of your tactics that I'd picked up in your email list about unsubscribers. And my client said, they're dead to me. As soon as they unsubscribe, I don't want to hear from them anymore. Like that emotion, like really kind of comes to play with how people feel about unsubscribed. And, you know, you're just thinking laterally about unsubscribes and kind of how to engage with them. And I love this, right? Because when we look at our own behavior with our own email inbox, of course we unsubscribe. I don't need a thing from a furniture company that I've been stalking for a while. I unsubscribe. I'll be back later. I'll be back on Grant Cardone's list at some point, I'm pretty sure. It just seems to come back to emotion again, Troy. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so one thing I've noticed too is now that you mentioned it, I don't think I've ever looked at a client's list of unsubscribes because it's not my business. But when it comes to my business, it's really, really hard to not look and see who unsubscribed and like try to judge them really quick, especially since my list is somewhat small and I know a lot of the people. But it's just something that's not good because, again, it's like it's somebody who could know you, but maybe there's some other reason. It doesn't mean that they hate you.
Totally.
So it's really interesting. When it's your business, I definitely see how it gets more emotional. But yeah, there's definitely better ways to go about it than saying they're dead to me, but I understand.
Yeah. It's a bit on the harsh side, I think, because they might come back again in the future. But yeah, bless her.
Yeah, who knows?
So we're obviously here over in the UK. We have had the fun and joy of exiting the EU. But before we exited the EU, being part of the kind of GDPR process. And it's pretty difficult to persuade people to come onto your list without having to go through kind of certain protocol first, right? And I don't know if you've had much experience doing email marketing with people within the EU at all. But if there's anything that you can kind of pass on to people listening to this about how we can encourage subscribers to join our list, despite the fact that they have to check a checkbox, like physically check a checkbox or physically respond to an email. Because again, this is something that a lot of business owners that I've been talking to have let hold them back from progressing with doing great email marketing because they're worried about regulation.
Yeah, regulation is definitely an interesting thing. I recently wrote an email about this and I'm probably going to share it other places soon too, but it's really interesting because it's like regulation and technology are advancing at the same rate, right? So like, for example, we can do more tricks today than ever before, like crazy things, like medical advances, like ways to like build crazy like tunnels underground and it like make email more profitable and like run crazy ads. But at the same time, like regulation and compliance are going up. So sometimes we can't use all those crazy things that we built. And we're like, it's a catch 22, like, oh, we have a bunch of cool stuff, but now we can't use it because there's regulation. So Thinking about that, I understand the frustration, but I would say, and one thing here that's worked really well for me, and maybe this can apply, is like a lot of people are like, oh, I don't necessarily want to opt in for something. Like, what do I do? So I'll add like a little sentence underneath that says like, hey, you know, we're super excited to see this training. It's going to change everything for you. Make sure that, you know, your email is correct and you click the box below and then submit. And we're going to see how much extra money this makes, or we're going to see, you know, how much weight you could lose, or we're going to see how X, Y, and Z, whatever the benefit of the list is. And then you would just put the box with whatever legal stuff you need to say. And you just try to frame things as a positive as much as you can. So sure, it kind of sucks if you need to jump through some extra loopholes, but you can still try to make things sound positive. And if you do, a lot of people are on board with that. Like sometimes you think like, oh, it's impossible. Like I have to add this thing here. It really sucks. But sometimes it can end up a lot better than you think.
Oh, so just actually using real life language that people will actually respond to rather than template marketing language that people think they should be using, especially if they're new to this, right?
Yeah, so if you have to use template language, then, you know, for legal reasons, then right above it, add something that's kind of fun and exciting and positive that'll make people like, wow, I really should opt in for this and check the box and everything.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly respond to whenever there's like real language, even in an unsubscribe like page, you know, where that they've said like, oh, are you sure? Are we breaking up? Like that type of language. It's a bit cheesy, but it's real, right? Rather than thanks for unsubscribing from our list. We'll see you again soon. It just kind of reminds you that there's a person behind it, which I think is a theme that's come out of our chat, right, so far, is that there are actual real life people at the end of emails and they respond in a real life way. It just so happens that their way of communicating is by clicking a subscribe button or the link button or whatever, right?
Yeah, and it speaks to the fact that like we were talking about earlier, your offer and your business, it's so important that it's appealing, because if it's really good, people aren't going to have a problem clicking an extra box. So sometimes it's just a matter of making what you offer like more appealing and like talking to your current buyers and asking how you can make it better, talking to people who didn't buy and asking why they didn't, and doing all these things that could influence future people to be more excited and join.
I mean, that's when you've been doing it a while, though, like that sounds really easy. It's just like, oh, just stand out from the crowd. Like you can just go and do that, right? But genuinely, like if someone's coming up with a business selling gift boxes, subscription boxes, you know, they've really taken off over the past couple of years, how does that person stand out with what they're doing compared to the next guy? You know, like there is a process to go through to find that. And I guess that's where testing comes in, right?
Yeah, and a lot of it is marketing too. So it's both of those. So if you have a gift box and you look around at like what all the other ones are doing, what is unique about those? Or maybe is there a certain niche that you want to speak to? Or maybe there's a certain problem out there that, like, if you go to Amazon reviews or any kind of review for the other boxes, and you can see what people love about them and what people hate about them, and then you just play your marketing and your offer to the strengths that other people are forgetting about and overlooking. So you can do it that way. Additionally, like I was saying in the marketing, if you have a very specific benefit to yours, if you have somebody like an influencer or somebody who has like more credibility who used your product or used, you know, something very similar that you're trying to replicate in your product, that helps. If there's a certain like time frame that people can see results in, like people always ask like, hey, how long does that take? So that's a really good thing to add too. There's all kinds of little things that you can add that make yours sound better than the next person. And yeah, sometimes it takes extra work and sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, how you phrase it. Because believe me, it's like, that's why people are so obsessed with like website conversion, landing page conversion, because they know that sometimes you change a few words and it has a huge boost. So it's always worth testing.
And is it worth following the competition and subscribing to their lists and kind of monitoring what they're doing as well?
Yeah, that can't hurt. Now, if you have some kind of insight into what they might be doing wrong, what they might be doing right, maybe you'd have to buy their product, which of course sounds like contradictory, but it's the only way to actually get inside their funnel and see what's going on and take notes, be like, oh, that's a good idea. And, you know, maybe that's not a good idea. So a lot of things people are missing, like, for example, thank you page offers, or kind of like the unsubscribe thing that we were talking about earlier. Like if you have a 404 error page or like a forgot password page, maybe you could put an offer on there. Or maybe a lot of people have exit pops on their website, but what about an exit pop in your funnel, in your upsells? Little things like that could scoop up, you know, extra revenue that you might not be getting right now. What about downsells in congruence with your upsells? Little things like that can make a big, big, big difference.
For sure. And I know, I can just hear like my people in the back, like in my membership kind of saying to me like, again, this is like really easy for you, but like, how long is this going to take me to kind of get there really? And if like a small business owner was sending maybe 1 to 2 emails a week, like how long have you noticed that it will take to kind of really see if you could get a formula running to kind of getting your emails open, kind of getting responses in your emails?
Yeah. So if you're educated in the right way, it can be the very next email, right? So like all the things that we talked about earlier, it's like, you know, I always recommend sending every day. Now, maybe that's not a perfect fit for every single business out there, but it's like the more touch points I can get, especially early on, I know I'm going to do better. I know that people are going to buy more. I know I'm going to help more people. So that's what I like to do, just like keep sending. And just understanding what people are going through and like what appeals to them, and just adding in all those elements of curiosity and benefit and all those things. Like it's really simple to add those into an email. Like maybe you look over an old email and be like, oh, I wasn't clear enough about the benefit here. Oh, like, you know, this doesn't seem unique compared to the other stuff. So it's kind of doing that, you know, your very next email could be way better.
I love that. And, I love that.
Another thing too, is like, I say the biggest mistake with subject lines that people make is they just use like some kind of like random phrase or like cliche term or something. And it's like, again, the formula, curiosity and benefit. So like, you know, I'll use some very bland examples, but if you're in weight loss, it'd be like 3 unusual ways to lose weight this month. And like, that's, you know, way more specific than like, I don't even know what people are sending right now, but hopefully that, you know, helps.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I see the weird email subject lines pop up in my inbox, and I see what they're trying to do, for sure. Like, you know, a million emojis and trying to be cryptic, in the hope that it's going to raise curiosity that way. But
yeah, like, and the other thing too is, I'm glad you mentioned that, is just having an email account where maybe you're subscribed to a whole bunch of people's lists and you just see what they do. So like, for example, I'm very heavy in direct response and copywriting, so I'm on like VShred's list, and they're in the health niche. So it's like anytime I need inspiration for a health-based email, I just pull up in that email account and type in Vince, who's the guy from VShred, and I see some really, really amazing ideas that are laced full of examples of the things we were just talking about. And it's like if you shift to using what they use, the odds that your next emails are successful are actually pretty high.
Yeah. I mean, people have paved the way to success, and so we can certainly like learn from what they're doing. How many email lists do you think? How many funnels do you think you're in at the moment? How many email lists do you think you're subscribed to?
That's a good question. It used to be a lot more, but now I'm trying to like reduce the amount of notifications on my phone and so forth. But at its peak, I was probably on like 15 or 20 internet marketers lists. Right now it's probably sitting at like 5 to 10, but maybe there's more. That might be on the low end.
I think, I'm probably around the same, and I just have an account where like they pop up and I'm able to go through and search for them. I do love a swipe. I'd love to read them all, but I think it is more like I notice the frequency and I can see how they fit in the in the email inbox. And it's things like that, that I take notice of, as opposed to like reading every word of copy. But I'm glad to know I'm not alone in my email collecting, Troy. I feel like a little less of a nerd over here in the UK about that.
It's really okay. It's like we're all nerds to something, right? Like, you know, some people really enjoy sports, some people enjoy email, some people like fashion, some people enjoy fishing. Like, you know, there's a million different things you can like, and we're all nerding out in something. It just happened. The email is one of those things for me that I just want to be really good at. As you know, some people want to be good at other things. I want to be good at email.
Look, I'm going to finish up by asking you a very predictable question that I'm sure you get asked like a gazillion times, right? But when I ask people in my membership, what would you like me to ask Troy when I'm chatting with him? They were like, what email platform should I use? I bet you get asked that all the time. Like, which one's best? ActiveCampaign, ConvertKit, MailChimp? We teach MailChimp, ConvertKit, MailerLite because they're very accessible to small business owners and like they don't cost much to get up and running because that's our methodology. But do you have like a one go-to marketing platform that you love?
Yeah, sure. So to preface that, I always tell people when they're like confused, I just say, hey, just pick one because the principles that like you apply to that is way more important than the one you actually pick. But yeah, I mean, if you're completely brand new, like any of the ones you mentioned, they're fine. But I use ActiveCampaign. I love it. It's like simple in one way, but you can get very advanced and nitty gritty in another way. So I love it. Klaviyo is good if you have Shopify, it has a direct integration. Entreport is good if you do affiliate emails because they actually allow that. A lot of ESPs don't. And I like the platform too. So I'd probably say those three are my favorites. But yeah, if you're just getting started, any of the ones that you teach would be good for an absolute beginner.
Thanks for the endorsement there on my decisions. I feel honored. Well, look, I'm going to wrap this conversation up. Like, thank you so much for coming to chat to me on Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners. Can you let everyone know where they can find you online? And I'll make sure that we put links in the show notes to all of your things as well.
Sure. So I actually have a couple of things. So if you're interested in the little unsubscribe trick I use, that is simply theunsubsecret.com. I have this other thing too. I think it's leadparamedic.com/email where I give you this document that has like every question that I've gotten about email in the past like year. And I just give you the answers to every single question. So like if you have any questions about email, you literally just download that PDF and it gives you all the answers. And if you're super advanced on here, the thing that I've been working on lately is how to get emails out of the Gmail promo tab, which is basically an instant increase in open rates. And that's a completely done for you service. And that's at emailparamedic.com. So I kind of have like the unsubscribe thing, and I have like a beginner thing, and I have an advanced thing.
Love it. I can't wait to find out more from what's going on in your world, in your email list. And I encourage everyone listening to sign up to Troy's list as well, however you can, to kind of continue getting all of these email marketing gems. Troy, thank you so much again for taking time to come and chat with me today.
Yeah, thank you. It was fun. I appreciate it.
Hey, it's Vicky again, coming back at you at the end of the episode. Oh, that was good, wasn't it? I really enjoyed interviewing Troy and just found him to be perfectly pleasant, really interesting, and just super smart as well. He talked about the links at the end of the episode of things that you can sign up to. I'll make sure they're in the show notes for you. So do sign up and get into Troy's list and funnel as well, and you will pick up more gems like the ones that you heard. If you really enjoyed the episode, please do go and leave us a review over on iTunes. It helps us get seen in the charts. And your help means that other people who might not know about this will discover it and learn stuff like they heard today about how to drive traffic to your website, how to manage your marketing, and all of the other awesome stuff that we talk about on Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners. I like to talk about this a lot, but we get into the top 10 occasionally around the world for top 10 marketing podcasts. And I'm really delighted that this past week we made it into the Trinidad and Tobago charts in the top 10. Very slowly, this podcast is taking over the world. But it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing without you guys showing up and listening. So I just want to say like massive thanks for listening, and you know, go and share and tell everyone about this episode or the podcast in general. So thanks again, and I'll see you in next week's episode.